How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Saying, Hosanna to the Lord. And they were angry. So they came to Jesus and they said, have you heard what they're saying? They're saying, Hosanna to you. And Jesus said, yes. He said, yea. And then he turned to them and he said, have you not read that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, he has perfected praise? The word Hosanna, in fact, I spent, I don't know how much time last night trying to find out a meaning for the word Hosanna. Most Greek texts define it as simply an expression of adoration. It's connected to the word, oh, save us. Okay? But it is an expression of adoration. And we have the testimony of Jesus saying that when you use this word, like these children have, they've perfected praise. So let's learn to use that word. Amen. On this Palm Sunday is a good Sunday to learn to use the word Hosanna. Make it a part of your praise vocabulary, if you please. Amen. Well, we're going to turn to the Word of God next Sunday morning. Let me see if I got something in here about next Sunday morning. Next Sunday. You have probably seen The Passion by now by Mel Gibson. And next Sunday, I'm going to teach on the other side of The Passion. Everything has two sides. Can't have a left without a right. Can't have an upper without a lower. Can't have a front without a back. Everything has two sides. Which is one of the curiosities of the present wrong political viewpoint of the separation, the wall that separates church and state thing, which is a misnomer, doesn't exist, it's not for real. But they want to make it a one-sided wall. There's no such thing. Everything has two sides. And it is very important that everybody knows the Passion. And every year on Easter week, most preachers in the country, most churches, most Christian people review the Passion. And probably nobody has reviewed it more graphically than Mel Gibson's production. And in the main, accurately so. Because the Bible does say that his face was marred more than any man. His visage, Isaiah chapter 50, was marred more. He turned not his back from the smiters, nor his face from them that plucked out the hair. To tear the beard off a bearded man leaves a very emaciated face. I don't think that Mel Gibson has exaggerated in any dimension at all what Jesus went through. I rejoice, as I reported to you last Sunday, the success of the movie in Beirut, Lebanon, this week it started in Cairo, that Yasser Arafat had a personal viewing of the Passion in Ramallah. And when he left, he said, quote, "That was very moving." So this Easter week is a time to review the Passion. But next Sunday, I want to show you the other side. And I think it's going to be a very special occasion. And in fact, next Sunday, I've been putting together a very special remembrance that I want to give everybody. Not because we want to give stuff out, because to try to get people to come, we don't do that. We don't advertise, hey, if you come, you get something for free. I don't know where you're at on that, but when somebody calls my house and offers me something free, I said, sorry, I don't take anything that's for free. They said, what? I said, I don't accept anything for free. And they asked me why, and I get to tell them, and it leads into a witness. Don't take anything for free. It's a hook. So, we don't give things out to get people to come to a meeting. To me, it's just something intrinsically unchristian about it. I can't imagine the disciples advertising camel rides if you come and hear the Master. He says, I'm fit. So, but I do want to give this to you because of meaning. And it is going to be a wonderful time when we get to look at the other side of the Passion. We'll do that next Sunday morning. This morning, we're going to try and make it through first half of the second half of a teaching. Amen. Everybody say, God help the preacher.
God help the preacher.
Let's bow for prayer. Shall we, Heavenly Father, ask your help now? Never have I stood before this people and not had your help. So I thank you again today. And never have I stood before this people without deep sense of being unworthy of being the connection sometimes between them and truths that are yours. That somehow in this mix right now, divinity and humanity come together. I'm going to ask you to override any humanity that we might see truths that will be purely delivered to us, that we might live pure lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll take your notes, I'm going to try and not review. But we have been in a series, and we'll exit the series next Sunday, of course, and maybe pick it up the Sunday after. Here's our subject. What to do when you know that you are a high-value target. And as you know, there are certain targets that our military are looking for in Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq. They're high value because they have so much potential to damage, and so we want to get them. Prevent greater damage in the world. Well, the fact of it is that it is your high value that makes you a target. It's the reason that you are targeted by Satan. If you had no value, you would experience no warfare, no battle, nobody would bother you. Satan would leave you alone. The truth, however, is that the arch enemy of God, who is Satan, has only one way of getting back at God now. And that is to get those who are created in the image of God, which is you. Because God's got big plans for you. In fact, His plan for you is so extended that it is going to take eternity to do it. Big plans. Satan does not want you in eternity working in the kingdom that he forsook, that he rebelled against. God wants to use you and I. Remember, he's going to take us out of here when we die, or when we get raptured, one of the two. And he's going to repopulate the universe with us. We're going to take the place of one third of the angels that rebelled. And we've got tasks to do and missions to accomplish and joys to express that are infinite. And Satan doesn't want you in eternity with God. So, you are a target. He doesn't much care how he destroys you, only that he does destroy you. That's why every single person in this room experiences warfare in your heart and in your mind. This is a battlefield right here. This is a battlefield. This is a battlefield. Since you have such high value, you have become a target. And since you are a target, we have plain instructions to be sober about this fact and to be vigilant about this fact. Look at this. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. Not who he can, but who he may. If he had the ability to devour you without your consent, he would. But he can't do it without your permission, so the word may. May he devour you is up to you. Because the Christian on bended knee is stronger than the fiercest devil. So it's not a matter of can he, but may he. That's the question. May he devour you. And that's why we want to be sober and be vigilant. We have learned this, that you're also valuable because you will marry and you will have children. And they will marry and have children. And it doesn't take long. Watch this now. It doesn't take long that if Satan can get you here, look at what happens. He is able to damage literally thousands into the future because he was effective with you. Watch now. Satan destroys your children by destroying your marriage. Satan destroys your marriage by destroying you. You're the target. And he wants you wasted. So what do you do when you know you are a high value target? And that's what we've been learning. And we learned the first thing was, step number one is to beware. That's the first, alert, heads up, be cautious. Be on your guard, because this is what is happening. This is what has been happening to you. This is what is happening to you. And this is what is going to be happening to you until you take your last breath and walk through the exit sign from this planet. There's a war zone. You live in a war zone. It is not going to change. Now, thankfully, as we learn to triumph, we will have peace even in the war zone. But the real show doesn't begin till we get out of here. This is a preparation time for then, for the future. So, we first learn to beware, and we have already covered the exact precise bewares that the Bible gives us. And we covered number one, beware that you don't forget God. Beware of false prophets. We spent probably 20 minutes on that one. We learn to beware of men. We learn to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We learned to beware of the scribes, which are religious leaders who lead by showmanship. They attract to Christianity, or supposedly to Christ, by Hollywood techniques. Beware of hypocrisy. Beware of covetousness. We learn to beware of devourers, evil workers, and abusers. Boy, we spent some time on that one. We've already spent 3 hours on these first 10 points. Beware of being spoiled through philosophy of humanism. And then beware of not being diligent learners of Scripture. Because if so, we would lose steadfastness. Now, we've already learned these, so this is the end of review. Aren't you glad? So now you can look at your watch and check, see how long I'm going to be. The first thing is to beware. And the Bible, what we have done so far is we have gone through these 10 specific biblical instructions that what it means to beware. And now we want to talk this morning about take heed. And see if I can explain a little bit the difference between beware and take heed. Beware is like this. This is stuff coming at you. Okay? Beware is like this. You almost need to see my hands up here to say, this, beware, beware, beware of that stuff. But take heed to this stuff. Your stuff. So take notice of, to give attention to, especially to be sure to do it. Take heed to it means that you take heed to it, or if you haven't taken heed to it. And so what we want to do here is to start covering. There are 15 of these, and I have broken it into 8 and 7, and see if we can do 8 today. And what does the Bible tell us that we need to take heed to? So here we go. First of all, let's learn the value of taking heed. Let's look at the verse backwards. Look at it with me. Watch my pen here. Because, now this is the reason, because they have left off to take heed. They stopped taking heed to the Lord. And because they stopped taking, because, you see, says down here is the reason why this happens up here. Now here's what happens if we do not take heed to the things of the Lord. First of all, people who will eat will not have enough. In other words, you will live an insatiable lifestyle. The word eat here certainly refers to physical food, but it refers to more than that. You can buy and it will not be enough. You can get and it will not be enough. You can have and it won't be enough. Because a person who does not take heed to the things of the Lord cannot be satisfied. Because man was made to find his satisfaction in his relationship with God. And others. We'll see that in a moment. Number two, they'll commit whoredoms. Because they don't take heed, they commit whoredoms. Now, probably what would be a good time for us on a Wednesday night, maybe this, there's a whole lot of things in the Bible that God calls whoredoms. Not just whoredom, not just. But they will commit whoredoms. You want to know, let me tell you this. Most whoredom is committed, are you ready? Right here. Whoredom is a condition of the mind. People do battle. I mean, remember, you're targeted. And by being aware and by taking heed to the things of God, knowing that you are a target, you are going to eliminate the power of the enemy. And one of the ways the enemy destroys is with whoredom. And whoredom exists because we have left off taking heed to certain things. Okay? Look at the third thing. It shall not increase. Are the ladies cold?
Yes.
How many ladies are cold? Let me see your hand. How many men think we should do something about it? It shall not increase. All this simply means, thank you, Mark. Anybody really cold need my jacket? Good. Like somebody said, the faster I go, the behinder I get. It shall not increase. People can spend a lifetime trying to, quote, get ahead. They never get there. They never increase. The reason is because we have left off taking heed to the Lord. Paul learned, in whatever state I'm in, to be content. I know how to abound, I know how to base, because my sense of arrival and have fulfillment and of increase is not based on. And that's why people spend a lifetime chasing trinkets and tinsel. No increase because we've left off. Well, what are the take heeds? So let's see if we can get through some of these. Number one, you want to take heed to your heart. You really need to guard your heart. Take heed, brethren. Watch this now. Lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. You need to believe sufficiently to never get detached from God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be salvaged. Believe. It's not mental assent. It is faith. And faith is a function of the heart. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Faith is a function of the heart. So be careful, take heed, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. It is unbelief in the heart that brings evil. So I'm reminded of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's statement. And if you're looking for a good Christian book to read, The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was hung in 1945 in Nazi Germany for resisting the Nazi regime and contending for the faith of the gospel. He was one of the voices that decreed and declared that what Nazism was supposedly doing in the name of Christianity was not Christian at all. And he was right, and they were wrong, and it cost him his life. But he wrote the book called Cost of Discipleship, wrote some other books, No Dusty Swords, but you want to read The Cost of Discipleship. It's like a Christian classic. It's on the equivalent, I would say, of Kempis... Imitation of Christ. It's that important a book. Okay? Thomas A. Kempis. Dean Bonhoeffer said, only those who believe, only those who really believe obey. And only those who obey really believe. Only those who really believe obey. And only those who obey really believe. So take heed to your heart. So watch this now, because the scriptures give us some direction here on how to prevent this from happening. Look at this. Instead of letting this happen, exhort one another daily. Let us exhort one another daily. Let your telephone ring. Call somebody, get them on the line and exhort them. Because collectively the enemy has targeted us. So exhort. Because once unbelief, watch this. Once the unbelief is in the heart, look what happens. You get hardened. And you get hardened by the deceit. Fullness of sin. Not just by sin, but by thinking that what is sin really isn't sin, or what thinking that sin is bad isn't really as bad as God says it was. And do not be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that should also reap. For if you sow the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Okay. Take heed to your heart. Now watch this. Take heed. For we are made partakers of Christ. Oh. Well, but this is so hard. You think my job is easy. It's not easy. Because I get up here and I get a phrase like this and I want to spend 45 minutes on this phrase right here. We are partakers of Christ. There isn't anything you need that you can't take from Christ. He is all you need. And you get to partake of it. Bring the stuff of Jesus. Bring the stuff from the other side of the passion that we're going to learn next week. Bring that stuff into you. Into you. Did you partake of Jesus this week? Did you extract from his willing offerings, from the magnitude of his blessings, from the fullness of his fountain, from the reservoir of his resources, from the vigor of his virtue, from the luster of his love, from the burnish of his beauty? Did you get something of Christ's life this week? Did you get it today? Did you get it yesterday? Did you get it every day? Do you, beloved, this Jesus that rose from the dead and lives to make intercession for us now has sent the Holy Spirit as his chief administrator to be to us everything we need from him. Nothing does he hold back. We are partakers, Christ. You see now why it's important to take heed? Because if you don't take heed, you won't be a partaker. And it's very easy to have this heart of unbelief. Oh my God, I gotta keep. Remember, this is one of our bewares. Remember this from last week? But it's also a take heed. We've got to take heed and a beware in the same verse. That's why it's showing up today. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Last week we covered the 10 issues of covetousness. And the last one was that covetousness is an idol that must be destroyed. Recall. It's an idol. Stuff becomes more important. It occupies our talk and thinking. And let me just ask a rhetorical question here. Why? Pardon me. Why? Is covetousness such an idol? What is the danger of covetousness? One of the big 10, thou shalt not covet. Because it is covetousness that removes us from the God first relationship. Well, I want you to get it. I want you to get that. Covetous removes us from the God first relationship. Covetousness puts something or somebody else as a usurper in the proper place of God. So we're not only to beware of covetousness, but take heed, because it changes the heart. It changes the God first condition of our heart. Number two, take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Let me deal with the first one first. Take heed unto yourself. Let me tell you something. This has nothing to do with selfishness. But you recall that we are to love our neighbor as ourself. If you don't look out for you, you'll be in big trouble. You are the only steward of your thoughts, your body, your motives, you are the steward of it. So take heed to yourself. We're going to come to more of that in a moment. But look at this. Take heed to two things here. Take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine. And continue in them. And the them here refers to the taking heed of these two things, not just a doctrine. You got to look after You got to take heed to yourself. You got to take heed to your doctrine. Now watch this. Because if you will do this, you shall both. Now watch. Two wonderful results here. Two wonderful results. Number one, you'll save yourself from a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of anguish, and perhaps hell itself. And you'll not only save yourself, you will save yourself. There is a sense. Now listen, let me go to the book of Acts for a moment, and here's what Peter said in one of his sermons. Here's what he said. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from that perverse generation. Don't go where they go, do what they do, think the way they think, behave the way they behave, believe the way they believe. Save yourselves from them. And there is an aspect, we understand that nobody can save himself. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is your Savior, my Savior. But none of that happens if you don't assume personal responsibility. Save yourself. You will save yourself, and look at this. You will save anybody that gives you a listening ear. Because believe it or not, we are all contagious. Whatever you've got is contagious. If you are depressed and you hang or and somebody else hangs around you, guess what they'll get? If you've got a negative way of thinking and somebody hangs out with you, what'll they get? Because you're contagious. And you probably got what you got from somebody else because they were contagious too. That is why the scriptures tell us to be very picky, particular about the friends we keep, the associations we have. Now, I can relate to the worst sinner, but I cannot bring him into the position of friendship. Because friends of the world is enemies of Christ. And Jesus said, whoever is not for me is against me. And if that person is not for Christ, he's against Christ. He's against what I am and for. We are at animosity. Even though he's fortunate because being my enemy, I get to love him. And with enemies like me, he doesn't even need friends. Right? But watch. You're contagious. Every decision you make as a husband affects your children, your wife, every single decision. Is it getting cold again?
Yes.
How about I turn the air down instead? Take heed to your wife. It's got to be in here. It's got to be coming up somewhere. If Pilate had only taken heed to his wife. Every decision, every behavior you make and you do and you carry out affects your children. It's a law. They know your thinking processes and the conclusions you come to. That is precise. You know, the worst thing about raising children is they become just what we are. They don't learn from what we say. To learn from what we do. Ouch. Train up a child in the way he should go and go that way yourself. It's a really good spin. A verifiable one. So, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine because you're going to affect you and you're going to affect others. Look at this. Take heed to yourselves again. It's repeated again in Scripture. And this one is related back to the heart. Look at, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, banqueting, drinking, drunkenness, the cares of life. Wow. I just got to stand here and let the Word speak to you. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart gets overtaken by the cares of life. And the day comes on you, and it shall come as a snare on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, referring to the return of the Lord. Watch there. Here's the instructions. So watch. Take heed means watching. And pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape the things that shall come to pass, and that you will be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. Now, I got to do this because it's in the book. Whether or not Christians, let me change it. Whether or not you as a Christian or I as a Christian take heed determines the future of America. Whether you and I take heed or not to the Lord will determine the judicial branch of our government specifically. The American problem is a church, Christian church problem. The problem in the Justice Department is the problem in the pulpit.
That's right.
And in the pew. That's the problem. Look at this. What nation is there so great? What makes the great nations, by the way? Look at this. All the ingredients are here. That hath statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. And when you get to our Save America Now website, which I don't know how soon that one's going to be up. The other one, we're hoping by the end of the week. But the details will all be here. You can take your friends through the whole cause and effect of answers to the FAQs on the Save America site are so important. Questions like, can you legislate morality? Questions like, did America really get its foundation from the scriptures? Is the legal system of America founded on the Bible? All the answers to those questions, many, many more, will be there. But watch this. Let me just simply assert before you, and we'll demonstrate it in the Save America Now website, that America was a nation that was founded by godly men and women on godly principles, on the direct. We found our governmental system from the Bible. We organized our judicial system from the Bible. The laws of America were the laws of the Bible. And what's happening in America is we are taking the laws of the Bible out of the laws of America, and that's why we got ourselves into a big fix. Amen. I won't tell you what the fix is. Here's the problem. Let me see if I can encapsulate this shortly. We have misconceived freedom. Jot this down somewhere in your notes. Freedom is not the right to do wrong. Freedom is the power to do right. Freedom is not the right to do wrong. Freedom is the power to do right. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? And it is. I'm not sure we should be going down the street right now, but I've tantalized you a little too much. I better take you to the scripture. Jesus says to the Pharisees, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you know what the Pharisees said? We be Abraham's seed. We are in liberty. We're Abraham's seed. Why do you think we need freedom? And Jesus gave the answer to the freedom issue right next. And he said that you're members. You are the servants of unrighteousness. And then he said, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You cannot have freedom and unrighteousness because they are opposites. Freedom is not the right to do wrong. Freedom is the power to do right. Freedom is the power to do right all the time, every time. That's what freedom is. Oh. All right, now watch this. Judgment so righteous that our law, which I set before you this day, only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which I... But you better take heed to yourself. If we do not take heed to ourselves in the Christian church, the laws will fall apart and deteriorate so badly, there'll be no such thing as a rule of law. But it's happening in the nation because it's happening in church. It's happening in church because it's happening in pulpits and pews. We must take heed. Because, watch this, you save yourself and others. Impacting. All right, number three, take heed to your attitude. Take heed to your attitude. Wherefore, let him that thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. Don't be cocky about how strong you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are, how sufficient you are. Attitude. You know the scripture. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit belongs to those who fail to take heed to this take heed warning. Take heed if you think you're standing, lest you fall. Look at this. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest, look at this, take heed again. Take heed lest he also spare not you. Take heed. Behold, therefore, both the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Now look at, here's the qualifier. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Could anything be plainer? Well, what is the attitude that we should have? Here it is. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Here's the attitude. And learn of me, because this is what I am. I am meek and lowly in heart. And that must become my attitude. That's what makes a person a servant. Meek and lowly. Not trying to flaunt and dominate. We don't try to get the upper hand. Because that process is based on style and not substance. We win by substance. And when you have the substance, you can be meek and lowly. You know why? Listen to this now. We have been schooled for 40 years with success principles that do not lead to success. And that includes material. Listen to the scripture. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed is the super salesman, because he shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the loud and confident. Blessed are the self-assured. Blessed are those who know how to push buttons and pull strings. God comes along knowing that all this stuff mocks us. Let him that thinks he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Attitude. Meek and lowly. Like the master. It makes it so that when you walk, put your foot down, you are firmly planted. None of your feet shall slide. There will be no slipperiness to your path.
Amen.
You walk on sure ground. It's not artificially created by puffery. Public relations. PR. No exaggeration required. Because we just walk in the steps. Take heed, dear attitude. It's slowing me down. Here's another attitude thing. Don't do what you do before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you got your reward. So this is about attitude. It's another take heed. Attitude. Take heed and beware. The leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Don't need to cover that one. Number four, take heed what you hear. Remember, you are targeted, right? The solution to being targeted, when you know your target, you want to beware of certain things, and you also want to take heed to certain things. And the scriptures outline exactly what those bewares are and what the take heeds are, right? Take heed what you hear. Here's another 25 minutes, but let me see if I can encapsulate truth here. You are your faith. Number two, your faith comes from what you hear. Romans 10. 17. Now faith cometh by hearing. You are your faith. Your faith is what you hear. Comes from what you hear. And you will obey your faith. You will obey your faith. We only believe something when we act on it as if it were true. You only believe something when you act on it as if it were true. Now, crude illustration. crude but not rude. If you listen to a commercial on the radio or through whatever medium enough times, if you hear it enough times, you will believe it. And when you believe it, you will buy it. Otherwise, why do you think the billions, if not trillions, of dollars are spent on advertising? What is advertising but getting you to hear? And if we can get them to hear, whether it's true or not is irrelevant. Only if we can get it heard enough times, people believe it, because faith comes from hearing. And so you believe what you hear. And if somebody says, I hate you enough times, you believe them. Whether it's true or not. And if somebody says, I love you enough times, you believe them. Whether it's true or not. Because faith comes from hearing. And then you act on your faith. So Jesus wants to save you a whole lot of trouble, so he comes and he says, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Let me see what's next. Oh, yeah. 4B. Not only take heed what you hear, but take heed how. Look at here. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. I mean, I really want to get to some other stuff. The therefore is always important, and you always need to look and see what is therefore, because it connects to what went previous. Everything that you hear will ultimately produce faith, produce behavior and action. It will manifest. It will always manifest. And it won't be kept secret. Nothing secret. And everything that's hid, neither anything is hid. Nothing is hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So take heed. Let me see. Take heed what you see. The take heed is down here in the text. I'm going to try and be short. And you may just find I'm very trying. I don't know. But let me see if I can do this. The two main accesses to your spirit are your ears and your eyes. Now, I know we have five senses. And certainly there are some thoughts that can come through smell. Ideas can be communicated through smell. That's why you better watch out the kind of perfumes that are floating around. Because they have design and intent and seduction as their motive. And they're able to create carnal thoughts from smell. But it's not the main learning sense. Taste. You can learn something from taste, not to minimize these, or from touching and feeling the texture of something. But the main access to you is your ears and your eyes. And that is why the enemy who has targeted you can only get to your heart if he gets to your head, and it can only get to your head through your ears and your eyes. You follow that? So, you know, Scripture says, and we're going to cover this in one Sunday session. The Scripture says we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We're going to spend a Sunday on what are the devices of Satan. Okay? He wants to get to you. He must get to you because, you see, God speaks to the heart to get to the head, but Satan speaks to the head to get to the heart. Satan must get to your eyes and your ears in order to get to your head, which in turn can affect your heart. So Jesus says, I want you to take heed what you hear. Right. Who are you listening to? What is their character qualification of even being worthy of your listening ear?
Right.
What music? Have you checked it out? What is the spirit behind the musician? What's his... Take heed what you hear. Now, watch this one, because Jesus, this is a heavy thing. We probably should have an hour on it, but look at this. The light of the body is the eye. In other words, if there is light that is going to get into your body, it's going to be through your eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, and that's not referring to a marital status, but when your eye is single, your whole body also is full of light. When your eye only sees what it should see, your whole body is going to be affected. But when thine eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. How does the darkness get into your body? It gets into your body through your eye. How does your body get light in it? It's through your eye. Now watch. Take heed, therefore, that the light which came into your eye isn't really darkness. Because if you see dark things, your body will be full of darkness. If your eye is single and you see only what is just, right, true, and pure, and holy, your whole body will be full of light. Let me see if I can get this. If darkness gets in your eye, your feet will take you where you should not go. You'll have darkness in your feet. If you get darkness in your eye, your hands will do what they should not do. If you get darkness in your eye, your mouth will speak what it should not speak. If you get darkness in your eye, your genitals will do what they should not do. Is that plain enough? Because if darkness comes through your eye, it affects your body. If darkness comes through your eye, your glands will be out of control. The enemy who has targeted you must, by natural law set by God, reach you through your ears and your eyes. To get to your mind, which gets to your heart, which changes the whole picture. Take heed what you hear. And take heed what you see. Now watch. Because if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. Legs aren't dark, genitals aren't dark, hands aren't dark, lips aren't dark, having no dark part. Right? Then the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. No dark parts makes for a bright shining life. And no dark parts comes from watching what you see. And our lives, bright shining, come and testify to us as to what we have taken into our eyes. And that's why Jesus came along and said, Now, beloved, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Your whole body is full of light. Your feet take you where you should go. Your hands do what they should do. Your tongue speaks what it should speak. Your heart loves the way it should love. Every part of your anatomy is full of light. And you are now the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put it on a candlestick, under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Now watch this. Here's this law of contagious thing, all right? The law of association. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. I want every parent to get that. You give light to everybody that's in the house. Hallelujah. Take heed what you see. How be I be shorter next Sunday? Take heed how you build your life. Take heed how you build your life. You are the builder of your life. Yes, you come to this church and I'm here to help you build. And every minister that touches your life is trying to help you build, hopefully. And not to take from you, but to give to you. But ultimately, whether they are effective or not, or whether you get built, is up to you. Now watch this. This is according to the grace of God, Paul said, which is given unto me. He said, I'm a wise master builder. Now watch this. Because here's what makes a wise master builder. Are you ready? A wise master builder is one that has laid the foundation that anybody else can build on. A wise master builder builds a foundation first. And life, everyone's life, is founded on something. Every building has a foundation of some sort or another. Every life has a foundation to it. And if we're going to, since we are targeted by the enemy because of our value, protect that value, beware of what he's trying to do, and we're taking heed here to our stuff. And that's what we're talking about here today. We're talking about personal stuff I need to take care of. And I have to take care how I build my life. And it must be built on a foundation. And a wise builder puts more attention into the foundation, because if the foundation is destroyed, what's going to happen to the rest of the building? Isn't that what the plain teaching of Scripture? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer to that question is tear down and put the foundation together properly. and then build again. But every life has a foundation. Now, some people have founded their life on their feelings. And whatever I feel like doing, I do. Some people have founded their life on intellectualism. And so whatever they think in their humanistic way is the foundation or the basis of their choices, decisions, and behaviors. But Paul said, I'm a master builder. Now watch this, and I'm laying a foundation that anybody else can build on. But let every man take heed how he builds on it. Now watch this, because now he's going back to the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. No other foundation. Not somebody else's life, not somebody else's example, not some education. What is the foundation of my life must be Jesus Christ. And if that foundation is not laid, the rest of it is, the walls are going to crack, the ceilings are going to fall in. Make no mistake about it that the wisest decision that any walking, living, breathing human being on this planet can make is to bring Jesus Christ in at the very foundation of their life and establish every decision, every thought, every process of life on that sure foundation.
Yes.
He will never fail you. He's the one person in the whole universe that's really watching out for you. So you build your life on Him. Anything you put on top after that will be sure because the foundation is sure. So, beloved, being targeted by Satan, make sure that you build, take heed that you build your life on the right foundation. Number 7. How many let me go for another 15? You let me go for 15? You know what? If somebody really has to go to the bathroom. No. If anybody has to go, don't be embarrassed. But you know, for some of us are here, this is all real stuff. And this is more important than... So here we are. This is eternal stuff. Let me see if I just can't get to. Only got two left. I mean, take heed to your relationships. Watch this. But if you bite and devour one another, look at this. Take heed. Here is the instruction. Take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Take heed that you don't be consumed of one another. You bite. That's where devouring begins. That's the first step to devouring. It's biting. We snap at one another. My wife calls it, what's the word you use for it?
Snippy.
Snippy. Stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Because before long, you will have devoured one another. Works both ways. And what was a good relationship can become bad. It gets consumed.
It gets consumed. Don't yell unless the house is on fire. Christian brothers and sisters, if we are to take heed what we hear, and we are, then each of us better be careful what we say to those who are supposed to take heed to what they hear. Let the job of censorship not all be placed on the hearer, because the power of death and life is in the tongue. And you may think you are getting away with it, but you are not. A bite here, a bite there, and it will be too late before you realize you have consumed a relationship. And it would be nice if I could stand here and tell you that you could, you know, get it back again. And never doubt the ability of the Master to be redemptive and restore. But when something is consumed, it's not restorable because it's gone. Did you hear? That's no longer fixing something. That's no longer patching. That's no longer cleaning. Consumption took place. Because you bite and devour one another. Take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Now, if you want to know the solution, and aren't you glad God always... Here's how to be sure that you don't do this. Here's how to take heed. So this I say then. So Paul says, because of this, now I'm telling you this right here. Walk in the Spirit. Because it is the lust of the flesh that makes you bite at somebody. It is the lust of the flesh that makes you accuse, demean, call down, dishonor, disrespect. If you want to know that's for true, just turn to Galatians chapter 5, which lists the works of the flesh. You'll find it written right in there in detail. The cure. Take heed to your relationship is to walk in the Spirit. Okay. Now, God says when you're taking heed with relationships, He has a special emphasis on spouses. In the take heed, we're talking about the plain take heeds of God, okay? Everybody know where we're at? Watch this now. So here's what Scripture says. Did He not make one, a man, a woman, came to... He had a residue of the Spirit. But why did He make them one? Why does He want the husband and the wife to be one? Now watch this. That He might seek a godly seed. Remember the diagram with mom and dad at the top and the four children who marry, who have four children who marry, etc.? God is seeking a godly seed. So He says, look at this now. Why did He make them one? Because He wants a godly seed. Now watch the Scripture. Therefore, for this reason, take heed. There it is, right here. Take heed. Take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. This is about marriage. You want to take heed about your married relationship. I'm telling you, the devil's targeted you, and he's targeted you because of your value. He's targeted you because you will not only affect eternity, but you will affect 1,000 people in the future if you have children, who have children, who have children. And it only takes a couple or three generations to affect literally masses of people. And the way God gets the generation, or excuse me, the way Satan destroys generations to come is by destroying you. And getting you to destroy your wife. Because then your children can never be a godly seed. Apart from special grace, which may or may not occur. So take heed. Now look at this. Take heed to your spirit. There's where the problem is. It's in the spirit. Now watch this. Because this dealing treacherously against the wife comes out of this condition of the spirit. And the way to prevent dealing treacherously with your wife is to take heed to your spirit. Remember the processes. What comes in here and what comes in here gets in here, which ends up in here, which is your spirit. Now watch. For the Lord, the God of Israel, states, I hate divorce. I hate putting away. And look at what happens when putting away happens. It's a violent thing. It's a violent thing. One covers the violence. What's the violence here? The violence is a spiritual violence that is treacherous against the wife. He tries to cover up the garment, cover up the violence with a cloak. So what the Lord says, therefore, look at it, take heed again, to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously with your wife. Take heed to your relationships with your brothers. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed. If your brother trespass against thee, you need to take heed. Rebuke him, and if you repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, in 7 days, all he has to do is say, I repent, whether he did or not, as he says it, you will forgive him. See, the tendency is to say, well, he did this, and I talked to him about it, but he did it again. He didn't really repent the first time. His repentance is a dealing he has to do with God Almighty, not you. If he says, I repent, we're to forgive him. Whether he did or not. We are not the judge of his repentance. We're to take heed about forgiving our brother. Now look at this scripture that follows. And the disciples, or the apostles, said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, I could have understood it if he said, okay, now Lord, increase our tolerance. This is a faith issue. We forgive by faith. The basis of our forgiveness is not whether or not he repents. The basis of our forgiveness, remember from the 18th chapter of Matthew, is because because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Remember the parable of the men with it? The guy, the Lord, forgave a man $1 million, and that guy went out who had been forgiven $1 million and wouldn't forgive a guy $50. He got called back in. Why? I forgave you all that. Why didn't you forgive him? And you turned over to tormentors. So shall my heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not men their trespasses from your hearts. This God, for Christ's sake, is forgiven. I'm telling you what. It takes faith to forgive. It takes faith, first of all, to know that forgiveness is the right response. And remember what faith is. Faith is acting on something as if you know it were true, as if you believed it were true. If you don't act on something as if you believed it were true, you don't have faith. You're not believing at all. That's just your imagination. All right? We're slipping right along here. Lastly, here, let's see. Let's get the end of this one. Take heed that you keep the Lord's day. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourself. You have to deal with yourself about this. That you bear no burden on the Sabbath day. Don't even bring your burden into the gates. And don't carry a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day. Do not work. Anybody see that? Is that black and white? Do not work. Do not work. But hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Now I know. 60% of you, at least, said, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. But if you knew your Bible, you would know two things. You would know that the Sabbath was an everlasting covenant. Secondly, you would know that in the New Testament, Jesus switched the days from the seventh to the first. That's why you're here today. The Lord's Day. The day of resurrection, which we're going to celebrate next Sunday. Now let me get to the bottom line as kindly but as strongly as I must. Satan has targeted you because of your value, because of your influence, because of eternity. You are valuable because of the generations that follow. He has targeted you.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.